So this letter is actually concluding here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is the shorter of the two letters, but it's taking me the longest to get through of the two. Finally, brethren, he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. I love the humility that's represented here, that's expressed here. Paul, the great apostle, we know the stories and all of the awesome things that were done through him, but he's saying, pray for me. Pray for us. And, you know, the three that are introduced, Silvanus and Timotheus, the three there, pray for us. We're to pray for each other. We're never gone past that point of, you know, I've got everything. I'm a complete package. We're made to be dependent on each other in that way, to be a body of believers that lifts each other up in prayer. And you'll know if you have aught against a brother or sister. When you pray for them, all of a sudden you'll feel that wall. It's like, what's that? I don't feel like praying for them. Why? God, what is going on there? And that wall will come down and the healing will come. That wall is causing spiritual cancer in your life. And it's eating you away. So as you're praying for people, you're getting healed at the same time. Because forgiveness is flowing out of you. You're cleaning house, maintenance time. So it's an awesome thing. The body should be praying for one another. Pray for us that the word of the Lord, he's going to give the specific here of what would want prayer for, what he's coveting, what he's desiring, and that's the things of God. The word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Two things there. The word of the Lord just opened doors for the word of the Lord to get out. And we're always looking for that. We're looking for opportunities to share the word of God. Louise expressed that this morning. Hey, this is an opportunity to share the Lord. Now's the time. We're praying for those open doors with our loved ones and with the people in our communities and the world around us. Free course, that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. And be glorified. There's a glory in the gospel, in the word of God. There's a wonder about it. It's taste and see that the Lord is good. It isn't the dryness of the letter of the law, but there's a glory about it. There's a light that's about it. So I see salt and light. What Paul is praying for here is salt and light. He's, God, give it, pray. We pray for more, just more. Pour upon us. Free course, that the doors be open, that the word of the Lord is going out, and it's glorified. It's just radiant. It radiates God's glory. Even as it is with you. And this was a good part of the church going on here, is that the word of God had free course. It was going out, but they were getting persecuted because of it. And it was a token. Remember we talked about the ring. It was a token of their belonging, of them being children of the king, that they were being persecuted, that they were being treated unrightly. And it's a token, it's a sign that, hey, you're a child of the king. Just as they treated Jesus, you also will be treated. So, and verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I think Patty and Terry both read this morning about that, about wicked and unreasonable men. Some people just cannot be reasoned with, and sometimes we think we can negotiate with people into the gospel. it takes a revelation, it really does. There's something unreasonable about the flesh. It needs to be crucified. You know, you can't reason someone into the kingdom. There's a certain place where reason gives over to revelation. And someone needs to really taste and see that the Lord is good. But the prayer here is continuing that the word of God has free course and it's glorified and that we're delivered from those that are unreasonable and are wicked. For all men have not the faith. It is not a new problem. This is the infant church and it's already being attacked and the heat is on. It's growing exponentially, but man, the power is against it. The war is on for sure. And it continues today. When the war isn't on, I question what I'm doing. Am I in the battle? Am I David, looking at things that I shouldn't be on the rooftop or when I should be engaged in battle? All men have not faith. That's why God has us here. The big killer today, it's in our schools. I was flipping through we're going to vote on our local budget here for Port Byron. Real quick testimony about Port Byron. There were 23 kids that committed to Christ just this week at least.
Amen.
And that's from, what, third grade to eighth grade?
Yeah.
That range. So there's a teacher in there that put herself on the line. And she's been working the gospel as best as she could in the school without stepping on toes and, you know, risking it. Now she's gone over the line, and she knows that. And her biggest concern is her husband. If she does lose her job, that he would be very angry. So keep prayer for her. She's a teacher in Port Byron, and just keep her in prayer. But she's going for it. She senses too the time.
Yes.
The time is now.
Yes.
They're really just like, I don't know if there's going to be tomorrow.
Yes.
And to get the gospel out. So
yes.
There's many people. There isn't. I thought it was unique here, but it's not. You know that. You know, back in November, I was like, God, just saying, time is now, man. It's the clock is winding down, kind of thing. And but there's definitely that sense in many people. And you're seeing revivals break out and small ones, as Terry was talking about last night in the prayer meeting. Little bonfires, little fires everywhere. I think it was you that was talking about. Oh, praise God. The school, though, man, the Goliath in the school, evolution, you know, that's being taught. The more I've studied it, the more I see, you know, the damage that has been done. And it's subtle. And it's affected you. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
It's affected you. It's something that you need to be cleansed of. You need to be healed of. It started back in the 1800s, and it's really become a Goliath, and it's taken down a lot of people in subtle ways. It's what's behind all the abortions. It's just a fish inside your belly. It's just a glob or whatever it is. A lot of the serial killers, believing that, you know, they're told that they came out of the ooze and they have no purpose or anything like that. And this, I heard it last night. It was one of the last things I heard before I went to bed. A serial killer's testimony, and that's not a good thing to hear. But he was talking about, you know, I was taught that I came from the slime. I had no purpose in my life. I didn't understand, and it just felt good to kill people. And now he's a believer.
It's,
you know, wow. You know, this guy actually ate people, you know. So you're talking about how far can you go into corruption, how unreasonable and wicked this verse is talking about. It can get really bad. But that is the lie from the pit. That is the doctrine of demons, evolution is, that we live in a godless world, that all of this is by accident. But the Lord is faithful. I love the buts in the Bible. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Praise God. You could stop there and just love on him for that. The Lord is faithful. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, regarding you, that you both do and will the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting of Christ. It's the verse I opened up this morning with. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. No, not to the left, not to the right, man. Go right smack into it. Some of you are up to your ankles in the love of God. You need to step in further into it. Dwight was sharing about being in the presence of God. He was talking about throne room experience. Well, Dwight, I had that yesterday. I thought I was dead. I thought that was it. And it was a feeling, am I dying right now? I wasn't sure because it was such an unusual experience. But I sense the power of God all around me. I'm outside working in the yard kind of stuff. And sense the power of God all around me. And I said, wow, God, you're here right now. And I'm just going to just fall apart. I'm going to disappear. I just felt I would dissolve into him. And I thought that was it. He was taking me. I was going. But he wasn't. He was just the love of God. I was being directed. My heart was being directed into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. So I shared that anointing of his love in prayer meeting last night. I want to just share it. I want to give it. I want to give it to other people. That hug that I got from God yesterday. And that's really what it was. It's God put his arm around. And, you know, just you become, I said, what am I? You disappear. And you feel like, am I even here anymore? So that's like the second time that's happened in my life. First time was a while ago, but I need more of that, and I pray for that for you as well. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So that's, I believe, a throne room experience. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God. He is a loving God. We've heard the word love before. And you've heard different cliches about it. Well, love isn't a feeling. Love is a decision. Or love is a commitment. And love, you know what love is? It's God.
Yeah.
It's the very nature of His substance.
Amen.
It's the radiance of His glory.
Yes.
It's the good stuff. It's the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, man, He's a fruitful God. He wants His people to be fruitful. We're the apple of His eye, not the woodchuck or the honeybee. He's raised the human being up to be a reflection of His glory and His love. He wants us to just receive more of that. And the Lord, direct your heart into the love of God. Our hearts can become stony, can become dry, and become darkened places and dusty cobwebs. But the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Praise you, Lord God. He finishes the rest of this letter with a little bit of bride maintenance. A little bit of bride maintenance. So I brought my pruning shears this morning. So the bride needs a little maintenance once in a while, shaking up sometimes. And so I'll put this on while I'm reading it, just for the visual to remember. Some people get discouraged when they see a little bit of something in the bride that shouldn't be. But we're to be encouraged to go after that and to do the pruning, do the work of the ministry. That's part of our loving each other, is to be bold that way, to exhort each other, to encourage each other. In that way. So the pruning needs to happen. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition, that's the teaching and instruction which you have received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. The word of God, again, getting back to this thing that he's asking for prayer about, the word of God would have open doors, free course, and be glorified. He wanted nothing to be tainting the word of God. Not even, you know, a paycheck, preacher's paycheck or something like that, or, you know, hey, time to take an offering now and, you know, I'll go on to the next church and do my preaching. He didn't want any of that to get in the way. So, at the whatever it cost him, the sleep that it cost, and whatever it was, you know, the sore hands that it cost, that he would preach the gospel and not have that anything to do with money to get in the way. Not every preacher can do that, but wow, what a privilege it is to have the word of God glorified in such a way. It's just like, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to taint the word of God. Thank you. Praise God. Not because we have not power. They did have the right. They had the right to receive carnal things for the spiritual work they did. So the scripture doesn't, God doesn't, in his wisdom, doesn't bring that down against us. But you see the love and passion for the word of God, that wouldn't interfere. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Louise. I don't want to take God's gift from you, but I never receive money from anybody. That's like, I want to have it pure. So you told me don't look when you put something in my pocket a couple of prayer meetings ago. So I thought, okay, scripture or something. And then it was the money. So it was, sorry for taking, God is still going to bless you, because it's part of a truth that he wants to bring out here. But there was something, there was a message that came out of that. When I came home, there was a $2 check on my table. And that was 22, which Karen had shared that night. Her son was getting verse 22 in James, chapter 1 there. And I thought I had the teaching I was going to have for that night this past week here. And then I was, no, you need to teach that. And I dreamed about 22 that night too. How could you have a dream about number 22? So you were part of that. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for electrifying me as well there. She was watching my feet at one of the prayer meetings. The prayer meeting was more revival than the actual meeting that we were moving up to. So praise God. But a lot of times we think, well, God's going to move in this plan that we have, but he's always on the outside, it seems, which is fine. And we need to have our eyes open for that. But you were washing my feet, then you reached up, and it felt like your hand went through my chest and grabbed my heart. Man, I was electrocuted at that point. And so I've been melted, zapped, electrocuted, but it's all good and crushed in the Holy Spirit. And it's the sweetest place to be broken by the Lord Jesus, to fall upon the rock and just be dissolved and be broken, rather than have the rock fall upon you and to reject Christ your whole life and follow a path of wickedness. So praise God. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So a little correction, a little maintenance for the bride here. And they were doing great, though, otherwise. For we hear that there are some that walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know, so they were able to work, but they were devoting their time for gossip. Now, to them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. The previous letter just said, hey, study to be quiet. And we're like, what's that all about? Study to be quiet. Well, here's the part that connects the two letters, that we wouldn't have this gossip. So it's a type of humility. The Word of God brings us into this awesome place of a holy God where we're just humble. It's a humility that's healthy, and it radiates Christ. His humility and his meekness, which are beautiful. Jesus is beautiful. Amen. Absolutely beautiful.
And whether you think you should do something or not, if God is saying you do it, you do it.
Amen.
Just be obedient, whether it makes any sense at all.
Praise God.
Because, you know, God told me to wash people's feet, whether they accept it or not. You know, some people didn't. And I didn't think anything happened. But God knows.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter what I know. God knows what's going to happen and what he's doing.
Yeah, it definitely breaks us out of our comfort zone. And when we're out of our comfort zone, we're in a place where we can receive. When we got the shields up of our comfort and we're doing everything according to ritual and our, you know, and our comfort, we don't experience God at all. You know, just very little. And it becomes anemic. Our life is an anemic life of comfort. And that was really the conviction. That was the confession I had on repentance night, you know, that they had, was that I didn't realize I'd become comfortable, you know, in 7 years here preaching in the town. So last November, man, he shook me right up. I started with a reading of Spurgeon, and man, just the dreams were crazy. And then dreams, other people started having dreams, and the dreams were coming to pass, and that type of stuff, and you know, the supernatural flowing in that way, wow, praise God for that. But what came through that is like, okay, Paul, I want you to now do. You've heard. You're comfortable. Now go do. Go be uncomfortable. And that's the process that's been going for the past month here.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 13. Let's finish it up here. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Why does God tell us that? Don't be weary in well-doing. Because we get weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So this is a verse. If you heard of the expression, don't enable, or I shouldn't be an enabler of somebody, here's the scripture to back that up. Now there may be a situation that God would quicken this truth to you, and you'd know that you are to avoid somebody for a while, because your relationship is enabling them to live a life that isn't going after Christ, and you've got to let them loose and let God work on them. And that can be a scary thing. But let God's truth speak to you at the right time for that. That's the anti-enabling passage right there, verses 14 and 15. You write that in your margin if you want. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Don't forget how he enters into a teaching and how he exits. And this is really an expression of our life, our existence. We're letters. We are the word of God to the people around us. We're epistles written for men. And as you see him enter into a letter, you see him enter in by grace. So we enter into our life that day by grace. And then the first thing we experience is the fruit of God, his peace. His love is right there. Grace, then peace. And now you see him exit this letter. That's like our day being ended. We exit, we hit peace, then grace, and then we're asleep. You know, it's the bookends of our life. And God has created the day to be a miniature picture of our life. Never discount one day. We're always looking for that event. We become event-oriented. I can't express, I know I've talked about this before, but that's our culture, and I want to break away from that cultural norm. That really look at the day as your life, because that's what your day is made of. Your life is made of is a bunch of days. Your life isn't going to be in August when Camp Gregory comes up. Your life isn't going to be at this next event and the event in the fall and then when Christmas comes. It's today.
Yes.
Don't lose today. See the value in today. Enter each day. You give it, it's like your whole life is in one day. And if you blow it that day, you get a new one the next time. And God's grace is there to meet you. His mercy is new every day. So you meet his grace the first thing in the day. You enter into his love, the peace, the fruits of God. That's the low-hanging fruit. The peace of God is right there. Then through the day, through the struggles, you're going to be bearing more fruit, the more difficult fruit. Patience, the high-hanging fruit, is going to be revealed. As you, the struggles of the day and what comes at you, you're going to be fruit bearers. And that radiates who he is, love.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for moving upon us and your hand being upon us this morning, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. I believe someone needs prayer in here this morning. I ask you to come forward. I'm not even sure what it is, but there's unfinished business here this morning that you come forward to sit in the front. It could be more than one person. And we'll just bring it before the Lord. Glory to God. Let's sing one last song. And as God moves your heart, have you just sit right here. Don't leave this morning. God's got business to do with somebody, at least one person in here today that needs prayer. You can sit right in this front here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my
body now surround the part that's in need of prayer. Be the body. It's a beautiful thing. It brings the light to God.